citizens of the area for helping defeat the virus. USA Radio News.
Stay healthy from head to wallet with Wellness Plus with Plenty at Rite Aid. You can earn Plenty points on hundreds of specially marked products each week on your favorite brands. Every 100 Plenty points equals a dollar off your next purchase. Sign up today in store or online at RiteAid.com. And that's just one of the four ways to save. Now through September 24th, spend $50 a week on participating products at Rite Aid and earn 2,000 Plenty points worth $20 in savings. Visit RiteAid.com/RakenPoints for details.
The new head of the New York Police Department jumping in during a very wild time. Here's a story from Sarah Lee Kessler.
Talk about timing. The big promotion for James O'Neill comes following that Chelsea bombing and concern that an active terror cell may be operating in New York, New Jersey. But the former chief of department is a pretty cool customer. 3 decades of experience at the NYPD. O'Neill also inheriting a record low crime rate as he becomes the city's 43rd police commissioner. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
A U.S. Marine was murdered in cold blood after he asked a group of people to stop leaning on his car. Here's the story from Jason Campidonia.
The shooting happened near the South Los Angeles home belonging to the Marine's girlfriend on 31st Street and Western on Friday night. The Marine noticed a group of people standing around his car, and when he asked him to move, someone pulled out a gun and shot him in the head. The Marine was rushed to a local hospital in serious condition, where he was later declared brain dead. Family and friends say he was an active volunteer in his community, helped the homeless, and encouraged at-risk youth to join the Marines. Jason Campidonia, Los Angeles.
Authorities in Alabama are trying to put a stop to clown-related threats in the area. Police arrested one adult and 2 juveniles late last week in connection with a series of threatening posts on Facebook in an account called Flomo Clown. The post threatened violence at a school in the area, even caused a lockdown while authorities searched for threat. The disturbance is part of clown-related sightings across the South. USA Radio News.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Good afternoon. The weather this afternoon is going to be showers and possibly a thunderstorm. Some of the storms could produce heavy rainfall. The high is going to be near 76 with a light west winds, and the chance of precipitation is 80%. Tonight, there's showers and thunderstorms, before 10 p.m., and then scattered showers after 10. Some of the storms could produce heavy rain, mostly cloudy with a low around 64 and light and variable winds. The chance of precipitation for tonight is 60%. Tuesday, have a slight chance of showers, then it'll be partly sunny with a high near 83, light northeast winds, and the chance of precipitation is only 20%. Tuesday night, a slight chance of showers before 9 o'clock, partly cloudy with a low around 61, and calm winds. Wednesday, sunny with a high near 84, calm winds becoming east around 5 miles an hour in the afternoon, and Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 58. Welcome to the Huntington Medical Center's Hour. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host. And this is the hour compliments of the Huntington County Chamber of Commerce. And we are very privileged today to have with us Linda Bryant, who's the director for the Center of Healthy Aging, and which we will find out more about how you age healthy. And I have to know about that because the older I get, the more I'm in trouble. So, Linda, welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you, Larry, for having me. It's always a pleasure.
I always ask this to everybody, so it's don't take it personal. But I'm always curious how people get into their different line of work. Someone once told me, well, when I asked it, one fella told me that ever since he was a little kid, he wanted to be a doctor, and that's how he, you know, because somebody helped his grandfather or something, and that's, you know, inspired him to be a doctor. Somebody else told me, well, I had a mortgage, a car payment, two kids and taxes. I had to get a job, and here I am 18 years later. So, you know, it just it amuses me sometimes how people, you know, how they go on various paths to get to where they're at. So if I may, Linda, how did you get to become where you're at here?
Oh, sure. Actually, it's an interesting story. When I was about 6 years old, I had an appendix operation. And I was in the hospital for about a week. And I was just so curious and so taken by the nurses, the doctors. They were very good to me. And actually, I didn't want to leave. It was so good. But I thought to myself, this is something that I want to do. It's like I wanted to give back in a way. Uh-huh. And so I never deviated from six on that I... Wow. I really wanted to be a nurse, and I stayed with it.
That's cool.
The interesting piece is, why did I get into geriatrics? And I didn't get into taking care of the older adults as much until I got into being a visiting nurse in the county. And I recognized the closeness that I had with my father's mother, my grandmother, mm-hmm. Because we lived with her for 3 years when I was till the age of three, and I do remember her very well. And I think that relationship sort of planted a seed, and I love the seniors. I love being with them, and I really admire and really want caregivers of seniors to do the best that they can because they deserve it, and the caregivers need this and deserve the support.
You know, it's just ironic because the Carol Ricard, who was on just previously, on the show just previously, which is NAMI's show, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, called Mental Health Matters. And we were talking, and one of the things we talked about was caregivers and how much stress and such that a caregiver can be under, whether it's caring for someone with a mental health issue or whether it's caring for an elderly parent or grandparent, whatever, or better half, wife or, you know, husband, and how much stress people don't realize until they're in that situation, how much stress is involved. And like, you know, you were saying, you know, it is, it is a stressful, to be a caretaker is stressful.
Absolutely. You're giving so much of yourself. And so much of the time that you might be
Absolutely.
Doing in taking care of yourself. And then there are situations where relationships might not have been ideal or pleasant. And a caregiver may be thrust into that role of caregiving. And that can be stressful in a very different way.
Right.
And so, you know, it's almost as important when you have to diagnose what the senior needs for their care. But what does the caregiver need to do their job? And if they're doing something 24 hours around the clock kind of situation and the relationship's not good, it's really important to be able to kind of change that dynamic and balance a little bit.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things I mentioned in the past hour was we have it with NAMI. We have a lot of, you know, families who have very stressful situations, you know, and so on and so forth. And I always say to them, to the family or caregiver or whoever, in order to be there for your loved one or your relative, you have to take care of yourself.
Absolutely.
If you don't take care of yourself, you can't help take care of them. So I suggest if it's 15 minutes that you take out of a day and do something you like, it doesn't matter what it is. Read a book, take the dog for a walk around the block, sit on the porch and watch the birds and the stars. Who cares? It doesn't matter. Listen to the radio, whatever. We were kidding around and, you know, the girl that was the woman that was on said that she had a client and who was into dementia and stuff. And she said that, oh, you know who had breakfast with me today? Oprah Winfrey, you know. And so, and the daughter said, oh, well, how did the breakfast go? How is Oprah? You know, and rather than, you know, say, what are you talking about?
Right,
you know?
Right. But that's the ideal cornerstone for really giving care. Go where they are.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I had said that, you know, my mother had dementia and then went to on, and we had four little kids at the time, and my wife couldn't do it. We just couldn't. So we had to find a nursing home for her, which we were very fortunate. We found a very good one, and the staff was excellent and took very good care and everything. And I went quite frequently to visit. And, you know, I remember one day I went and she said, oh, you know, who was here this morning? We had breakfast. We played cards. My mother never played cards, you know. And she said, we played cards. We had breakfast. We had a real great time. And she told me who it was. And that person died like 10 years prior, you know. And all I said was, really? How was it? You know, did you have a good, you had a good, sound like you had a great time. How was, you know, so-and-so?
Right, right.
Oh, yeah, she's fine. Yeah, okay. And I'm thinking to myself, finally I went outside and asked the nurse. I says, you know, what do I, she says, no, you did right.
Exactly.
You stay in, if that's what she's saying, go along with it, you know.
Yeah.
Don't tell her that the woman died 10 years ago.
Right.
You know, tell her, oh, great, fine, you know. And she would, you know, and it was, in some way, it was scary. It really was, you know, to me, you know, like, wow, because I never had to deal with any of this, you know.
Right,
it was
right.
A new experience, you know, and one I'd prefer not to have or anybody have, you know, but the way it is in the world, I guess it is, you know.
And that's a key thing, you know, you want to prepare caregivers for what you think will happen. And when you know that they're caring for a loved one with dementia, they need to understand what may happen. Maybe it won't, but you never know. And it's better to tell them sort of what the worst scenario is so that they're prepared.
Right.
It's when they get caught unawares that they really start to get a little panicky. And I think that it is important to really share information and teach so that people are aware of what's going to happen. The other thing that's also very stressful is when you love someone and they're going through that situation where they're declining considerably with dementia, it's heartbreaking.
It is.
And it's a loss. There's a lot of grief before the person even passes on. You know, they're in a grieving state because the person isn't the person they knew.
Right.
And so they need a lot of support with that.
In the last 2 years of my mother's life, she wouldn't talk.
Yes, that's part
she
of
never
the
spoke.
Disease, yeah.
And she'd look at, like, with this angry, angry face. And I'm like, what did I do? I didn't, you know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, but she wouldn't talk to me, mm-hmm. me or anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And, but she'd look at me with that, and she'd have this most angriest face. And it got very difficult to go and see her because she didn't talk. And she just looked at me with that anger. And I was like, it's not my fault, Mom. I didn't do anything, you know?
Right. But, you know, sometimes that anger is at themselves for not being able to express themselves.
That's possible.
And the inability to speak after a while is part of the disease. It's not that they don't want to speak. that they just can't find the words to articulate what their feelings are. And we find people saying sometimes just gibberish, you know, trying to express themselves. And unfortunately, that's part of the disease process. It's usually in the later stages, but nevertheless, it's a very painful process for them.
Yeah. What is your particular role at Hunterdon Healthcare?
Well, I was hired. I've done a couple of roles at Hunterdon Medical Center. I've been there quite a while. There was a period of time that I worked at Phillips Barber Family Health Center. I was their supervisor for an outpatient setting. But I also worked for a period of time in the endoscopy unit, which is where you get your colonoscopies and so on. And my true love, my passion, has been to work with seniors and caregivers. And when I had the opportunity, there was a geriatric coordinator position opening, and I jumped for it. I really wanted to pursue that. Now, my role is, 25-some years later, is director of the Center for Healthy Aging.
Okay.
And besides working with my staff, I have two social workers and five physicians, geriatricians that evaluate patients both in nursing homes, in the hospital, and on an outpatient basis. I also do a lot of community programs.
Okay.
Community programs for caregivers where they can bring their loved ones, but there's a place for the loved one to maybe spend time doing some activities so that the caregiver can enjoy other kinds of activities and learn about what they're having to deal with. And I also do community presentations, so that's my current role.
Well, that's quite a role, actually, when you think about it. You know.
It is, yeah, but I love it. It's very fulfilling. It's certainly a busy life's daytime for me, but I wouldn't change anything.
Yeah, I've been retired about 7 years, and people say to me, why do you do all this? And I said, well, my perspective of what I do is if I can help one person or one family not go through the hell that my wife and I went through because we knew nothing about this, then it's all worthwhile. And that's why I do it, you know.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's why I do the radio shows. That's why we do the teach classes. That's why we give presentations and, you know, the whole nine yards.
That's your passion.
Yeah, because if you can help somebody, you know, I know what we went through. And if you can help somebody, it's not that they're not going to have to go through it, but it make it easier because you find them help for them that we didn't know was available. You know?
But, you know, Larry, you're doing something very healthy for yourself. You're staying involved.
Yeah.
You know, you may be retired, but you're not isolated. You're getting involved with people and situations and things that you really enjoy.
And it's funny because I've said more than once, I work harder now than when I worked. When I worked, I was a boss. You know, you do this, you do that, have it back to me by Thursday, you know, you know, that sort of thing. And I traveled. So it was like, now I don't have anybody. I look at my wife, she looks at me and laughs, you know, I'm not helping you, you do your thing, you know. But she also is part of NAMI, and she also teaches with me and so on and so forth. But you had mentioned healthy aging. What is healthy aging?
Well, we're all aging from the day we're born.
Unfortunately, yes.
And there are some, you know, I had to ask myself, how do I see healthy aging? And, you know, there's a lot of literature written about healthy aging. Probably the most important thing is doing what you need to do to care for yourself and any chronic illnesses that you have to keep yourself going, to keep yourself free of disease, and if you do have a chronic illness, whether it's diabetes or hypertension, that you're keeping it under control so that you can enjoy life, so that you can do some of the activities that you're doing. So healthy aging is really being aware of what risk factors you have excuse me, as you age and what you should be doing to take care of yourself. One of the things is eating healthy. You know, when we're younger, we can get away with a lot of eating this, that, and the other. But as we age, depending upon our chronic illnesses, depending upon our weight, depending upon so many different factors, we really have to eat a little more healthy and not as much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean.
So sometimes it's helpful to take a class and find out, well, what should I be eating? For me to just say you should be eating X, Y, and Z, you know, people have, as I said, different illnesses, and they have to come under control based on what it is you're trying to control, whether it's blood sugars or cholesterol or whatever. So it's important. Even low sodium, you know, there's a lot of different reasons people have to change their diet. But eating healthy and basic healthy eating, if you don't have a lot of those conditions, is eating good fruits, vegetables, and making sure that you have some protein in your diet, and really, really low on the sweets. Not like you have to cut it out, but it shouldn't be a big portion in your lifestyle.
Unfortunately, you know, a lot of the stuff that you're supposed to eat, I don't like, you know, and I have trouble getting down. I can eat fruits, you know, but even some of the fruits I like are, you know, grapes or, you know, high in sugar, I think that is, you know.
Right.
But, you know, but I like peaches and, you know, things like that, bananas and strawberries and stuff like that. But, you know, it's like some of the foods. Oh, well, yeah, you can't have skin on the chicken. Oh, really? You know, I mean, come on, really? You know? But it's tough, you know, because if all your life you've ate hamburgers and hot dogs and French fries and all this good stuff, and all of a sudden now you're supposed to cut back on the, you know, the red meats and, you know, eat more fish. Well, I like certain types of fish, but, you know, but it's just, it's a big adjustment.
Sure, absolutely. But it doesn't have to be a total abstinence. You know, maybe you have red meat once or twice a month, or you have whatever you're not supposed to have once a month, that kind of thing, with moderation. We just can't indulge the way we did before. But it doesn't mean we have to totally excise it from our life. Some people might have to, but
depending on their medical situation.
Exactly.
You had mentioned earlier some of the physicians that go to homes and evaluate people.
Well, there are some people, some physicians in the county that do home visits. But if you're talking about the nursing home.
No, I was talking about nursing homes and stuff like that. What is the purpose of, if somebody is in a nursing home, what is the purpose of, I mean, obviously, if they need a doctor, that's one thing. But for a doctor to go and evaluate them, I mean, I don't understand why that, where that fits in.
Well, it's a good question. When our physicians go into a nursing home, a lot of the people have medical conditions. That's why they're there. And so it's very important that there is a physician that's affiliated with the nursing home. And they just can't, a doctor just can't walk into a nursing home and say, I'm going to see this patient. This is a contractual thing between the physician and the nursing home itself. But there are two types of people in the nursing homes today. There's the long-term care patients, patients that just can't live on their own. They have a disability. They have physical or mental difficulties that precludes them from really caring for their home that they used to have and an animal or whatever. And so they need a place to live. And long-term care means that becomes their home. And they're given the opportunity to decorate their room, to, you know, really settle in and put the pictures up and do the things that they would have done to their own room at home. And in this situation, the physicians will see them every other month just for a general checkup to see how they're doing. If they get sick in the interim, all the, you know, the doctors are there every week, so they can always get called in and say, we know you saw Mrs. Smith last month, but this month she's just not feeling well. We'll check her out. And they'll see her. The other kind of patient that's there is someone who's been in the hospital. And they've been now assigned to a subacute unit. And that means they're getting better, but they're not ready to transition home. They're just too weak. They're just not ready to get up and at them. So when they go to subacute rehab, there are goals in mind to get them stronger and more able to care for themselves once they get home. The length of stay in subacute can go anywhere from 1 week to 100 days, depending upon, you know, how significantly impaired they are. Some people have maybe come out of ICU, intensive care units, or maybe they had a stroke. So they're looking at a lot of different things. And, of course, subacute can be for just someone that had an operation and they're just not able to get around just yet.
Right.
So those people in subacute are seen a minimum of twice a week, sometimes three times a week, depending upon the complexity of why they're there.
Okay.
So that's why physicians do go to the nursing homes.
All right. Now, is that covered under Medicare or Medicaid? Or
it's a really good question. The people
or
in long-term care,
or whatever.
The people in long-term care that are there, if they have a physician visit, that is covered by Medicare if they have Medicare.
Okay.
They have to have the insurance.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that their room and board is covered.
No,
that's a private thing. But
right.
physician visits are covered by Medicare B. Right? The people in the subacute rehab, that is covered by Medicare, their stay.
Okay.
Their room and board is covered because it's on a very short-term basis.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And what happens is when they start to reach their goals, then they're going to be transitioned home. Sometimes some of those patients might need a little bit more, but not enough to be in a facility. They can go home and maybe have a home health aide or the visiting nurses.
Okay. That makes sense. You know, I know we talked about this a little bit, but how would someone recognize the fact that their loved one, whoever it may be, would require, you know, your services or your help?
Usually, I will tell you the most common scenario is the caregiver's in over their head. They're in crisis. That's basically it. I mean, we get calls every day. I've got to make an appointment for my mom to come see you. This is really out of hand. The height of our calls come from after Mother's Day and Father's Day, around Thanksgiving, and around Christmas. When families get together. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, the family begins to see a different side that they haven't seen of their loved one. And so what they're really seeing, you know, I think if you took people from my department with trained eyes and with a skill set to really determine what's going on, they might pick up the issues a lot sooner than maybe some of the family members. But there's a lot more complexity to them wanting to many times admit that things are as bad as they are. But there comes a point where they see that mom's getting thinner or things are not getting, bills are not getting paid or the refrigerator's empty or mom's spaghetti sauce, which was always wonderful, tastes like yuck. You know, it's those kinds of things that really put them over the edge and realize that they're really in a problem.
Well, you know, it's a lot of times, though, if we're using parents, a lot of times the children don't necessarily live in the same area.
That's right.
And so sometimes it could be a neighbor that notices this. Is that true? Or
absolutely.
Because,
absolutely.
You know, I mean,
a neighbor, a friend, a niece.
Somebody at church or whatever, you know.
Well, sure, the minister.
Yeah, right.
People are not showing
right.
up for church. Right. And they were always there.
Right.
Absolutely. It could be anyone that will all of a sudden say something's really amiss.
And, you know, if you don't know, like my mother before she went for about, I want to say almost 2 years prior, she lived in her own, in the house I, well, pretty much grew up in. I mean, I was born in Brooklyn. I was raised there halfway, and then they moved to Teaneck. And that house she lived in the whole time. But about 2 years prior to her actually, you know, going over the edge, if you want to call it that, for lack of a better word. I would come up once a week and do her bills, pay her bills and stuff like that, because I would see that, you know, the bills would pile up in a corner or, you know, whatever, or lay on a kitchen table and not be opened even, you know. So I made an agreement with her that I would come up and do it. And, you know, she said, okay, fine, you know. But if I would have noticed or been cognizant of the fact that this was part of a mental status, you know, maybe you could have done something sooner, you know, mm-hmm. but.
Well, I think, you know, seniors want to stay in their home as long as possible.
Yeah.
And the fact that you were going there, number one, was wonderful because she could depend that somebody was going to see her. But secondly, you were ensuring that her bills were paid so she wouldn't get evicted or that her lights wouldn't have been shut off or whatever right. back in Brooklyn right. or wherever she was. So you were doing a service that we even recommend today. I mean, you want people to stay as long as they can. When they can no longer be alone because it is truly unsafe, then we have to sit down and talk about what are our options. Sometimes it's getting somebody to be there every day between certain hours.
Right.
Sometimes it might mean bringing in a 24-hour person. It might mean going to a facility. A lot of it depends on many different situations.
Mm-hmm.
What they really want to do, what their finances will allow, what family members can provide.
That's a big part of it, the finances.
Oh, absolutely. You can't make decisions without looking at the whole picture. That's
right.
the bottom line.
Right. And how can, well, how can someone juggle, for lack of a better word, caring for a loved one, managing their own commitments in life and, you know, say dealing with their own children and, you know, their work and their headaches or because I don't care what job it is. There's always problems that come up and, you know, you're called or you had to, you know, help something here or there or whatever. How do they do this? How do they juggle this?
It's not easy, Larry. It's different for everyone. There's no one recipe. And I say that because caregivers come in many ages, and they come in from many different circumstances. If they're young people, and we've seen caregivers as young as 17, not going to school, and we had to get help in that home so that that child could finish school.
Right.
There may be situations that you have someone from the sandwich generation. They have children at home and they have parents that are aging and they're torn between running back and forth and looking at what are the needs, what can they do that works and what do they need to have in the home to make it work. Maybe there are resources we can recommend.
Okay.
So everyone is in a different situation. So it really requires sitting down and looking at how are things going and all the circumstances that are going to make it or break it for the caregiver and the patient.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's just, it can be very, very, very stressful.
Sure. You know? We've known people with children with disabilities and parents that had Alzheimer's disease.
Right.
I mean, talk about being caught in the middle.
Right. Right.
It's a horrible situation for some of these caregivers.
Sure.
My hat is off to them. But, you know, if I had a message to send to caregivers, call. Learn about some of the resources out there. Don't deny yourself the opportunity to get some help. People feel like many times they have to do it themselves. And you're not alone. There's a lot of people, and it's not a shameful thing to require help and get help.
Right, right.
You know, whether it's physical, where somebody can do the grocery shopping or take them to doctor appointments, or if it's help like the caregiver doesn't know what to do and they need some help, going to a caregiver support group. So it's looking at all the different opportunities mm-hmm. that are there and
right.
what fits, what's going to be the best
right.
fit.
We have to take a quick break. You're listening to the 100 Medical Center Hour, and we will be back in just a few moments.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, law offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
This is Tony Clark, Parrot Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Welcome back to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour. Compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and we're very happy to have with us today Linda Bryant, who's the director for the Center of Healthy Aging. And we've been talking about what healthy aging is and what caregivers, how they can juggle their life and then help with their parents or whoever is someone who needs their help. Linda, what is the Central Jersey Regional Memory Center? I never heard of it.
Well, it's part of the Center for Healthy Aging. And let me tell you a little bit why we used to be known as Senior Services. Okay. That was our original name. And what we've been finding is that there were groups of people for various reasons that were having memory issues, but they weren't seniors. And so we changed our name to the Center for Healthy Aging because we were all aging. But we wanted to be able to bring those individuals with memory issues.
Okay.
To a place where they could be evaluated and determine what kind of issues were going on and try to give them direction of mm-hmm. how to correct their memory. So we have a brochure called the Central Jersey Regional Memory Center, and there are currently about 5 million Americans with Alzheimer's or other forms of dementia. And people who have memory problems in their younger years many times start out with something called mild cognitive impairment. Not all of those people will convert over to a dementia, but mm-hmm. some will. And it is important to follow those individuals to make sure that they're doing things to keep themselves as healthy as they can. If the body's not healthy, the brain is going to follow right behind
right.
it. And that's why we're so we feel so strongly about people getting their memory tested, like you would go to the doctor for a physical, and you mm-hmm. get an EKG. You don't have heart problems, but what they're doing is they're getting a baseline.
Okay.
And this is what we're looking at. We need to get baselines on individuals who think they might have some memory issues and kind of determine what's going on so that if anything gets worse, we can follow.
Okay.
So that's basically what the memory center is about. There are a lot of reasons people have memory problems. And believe it or not, one of them is depression. And it's something that we can treat. And I say to myself, you know, why would you not want to feel better and have a better memory if it means, you know, being able to get the right treatment for your depression?
And a lot of times people don't want to admit that they have depression. And, you know, I try to tell people that depression, anxiety, everybody has it at some point. I don't care who you are. You can get depressed if you break up with your girlfriend or you break up with your boyfriend or you lose your job.
Of course.
That, you know, it happens. Anxiety. You can always have, people get anxiety. Mm. They get anxious. Get anxious. People get anxious coming here to talk on the radio.
Right.
And that's understandable too. Mm-hmm. Or they get anxious because they're going on a job interview. You know, or they're going, they have a big test in college or something, you know, a big exam. It's understandable. But the period of time that it lasts is the differentiate between what everybody goes through and the illness.
When it starts to interfere with your daily activities, your daily function,
for a period of time, actually,
you really need
to
check that out. But here's the other thing. There are other things that people go through that can impair memory. An example, Lyme disease.
Yes.
We've had a lot of patients come in saying that they've had this brain fog. They just don't have the memory.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been because of the Lyme disease.
Right. Right.
You treat it. As a matter of fact, when we have patients come in for our geriatric assessment, elderly people who have dementia, one of the things we do is take a very, very careful history. And if we find that they have been gardeners, they're busy work with walks, and they like to hike through the woods, or they live on a farm, or they have indoor-outdoor pets where ticks could be brought in, these are individuals we're going to do Lyme titers on because we have picked up Lyme disease that others have not.
Mm-hmm.
People who have had chemotherapy, there is a syndrome called chemobrain, and they're worried about their memory. And we just see how people are doing. We follow them. And so the point that I'm trying to make is that it may not be a dementia. It could be something where we could treat it. We could help get the kinds of care you need to get better. And that's what's really important. And that's what the memory center does.
Okay.
But it also will pick up people in the early stages of dementia. And these are people that we want to get into research studies so that they can get the cutting-edge medications that are out there that others can't get. So this is why our program exists. We want to get as much as we can to the people that need the services.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's I lost my train of thought now. That's what happens when you get old, you know. But what was it? You were saying about trying to help. People have various things. And I said that I tell people that they have to, if they have a problem, all right, and they have a mental health issue, which is what I mainly deal with, it's a get yourself a complete physical first. Because there are a lot of things that can cause similar or exact same symptoms as a mental health issue.
Sure.
So you want to rule those things out first. And it's pretty much what you're saying.
Absolutely.
You know, because if you don't rule them out, then you're saying, oh, you might be treating this, but it's not really that. It's, you know, it could be Lyme disease or whatever, you know. And, you know, we tell people, get a complete physical and rule out all these things that could cause this. Then if it's still there,
right,
then you know that which road you have to travel down.
People have to remember that the brain is attached to the body.
That's right.
And if there are other illnesses going on, you could be experiencing some even side effects from medication. That's another thing.
Absolutely.
People are on a ton of medicines.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people on psychiatric meds, many times the meds alone will cause memory impairment.
That's right.
So these are the kinds of things. So are we going to change it? Maybe we won't change it, but we can say to them, look, it's really caused by this, that, or the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
Let's keep an eye on things. Come back if you feel worse, or you know, maybe your psychiatrist will want to adjust meds. We can see about whether or not that's a possibility, but it's at least giving them some reassurance whether they're dealing with the dementia or not.
Right. And you said you offer support groups.
Yes. Well, I don't, but...
No, I'm not saying you, but I mean...
But we do recommend them and
recommend
refer.
Them.
Yeah.
And are they held at the hospital or are they held...
They're held... they used to be in the hospital. Now they're currently at the HRCH building, which is the Hunterdon Regional Community Care Building. It's located on right off Westcott Drive on the corner of 31.
Okay.
It used to be a bank.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's where right. HRCH is. And
okay.
The agencies in that particular building are home care, visiting health and supportive services, hospice, and Lifeline. And I believe they're CPR, the cardiopulmonary resuscitation training program, is in there. So the support groups, the general caregiver support group, meets the first Thursday of each month from 1 to 3 at HBH. And Kathy Mason is the person that runs that group.
Okay.
Her number is 908-237-2364. And that's a general caregiver support group.
Mm-hmm.
But then she also runs an Alzheimer's dementia group, people who are dealing with that. There are a lot of different reasons caregivers exist, not just for
Absolutely.
Alzheimer's and dementia. The dementia Alzheimer's one is held on the second Wednesday in the evening from 7 to 9 p.m. And it is Route 31. That's HRCH, Flemington Room C. Kathy Mason is the person to contact about that to get specific directions so people will know how to get there. And it's the same number, 908-237-2364. Kathy does a great job. She also works with a program called the Older Adult Program. And that's where she goes out to people who are homebound, and she does counseling for people who have emotional problems, depression, et cetera, in their homes.
It's support groups are – we run a support group, and we tell people, you know, go to a support group, you'll see other people – going through the same thing you are. They may be already gone through what you've gone through, or they may be going right along with you at the same pier, or they may just be starting. But you're not alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's other people going through the same thing.
Right.
And you can, if you've gone through it, maybe you can help the person who's starting to go through it, you know,
Absolutely.
By giving them an idea or whatever, or something that worked for you. May not work for them, but they can try it, you know.
Right.
And it's the same thing with our support groups. We tell them the same thing. And, you know, it's just so that they know they're not alone.
Right.
You know.
Lots of times when people are in that caregiver position, they can't do the social things that they did before.
Right.
You know, their friends might be taking trips or having this or that or kind of event.
Mm-hmm.
And their schedule doesn't allow them to still participate.
Right.
I think going to a support group is exactly what you said. It breaks the isolation.
Yep. Yeah.
It puts people in the same category of issues that the caregivers are going through. You're with people that understand what you're saying,
right,
that want to be supportive because they've been there or they're going to be there, and they're learning from you or they're learning from others in the group,
right,
because people are in different stages,
sure,
of caregiving.
Right.
But it they celebrate, too. Kathy does a wonderful job. They usually have one or two celebrations a year. They have speakers that come in and help them to figure out how to cope with,
uh-huh,
certain circumstances. So you learn, you get connected, you have a certain amount of fun, and you laugh, you might cry, but, you know, you do it all together.
Right.
And
right,
that's what the support group is great for.
That's what
for.
It's all about.
Absolutely.
Right. One of the last questions, how does a family physician help? How does your family doctor help in all this?
Well, I think your family doctor plays a very important role in it. You may have been a patient of this family doctor for a very long time. One of the things that requires a good assessment is time. And many times the family doctors don't have that time. You know,
yeah,
they're rushed, they're squeezed. We're very lucky that we spend about two and a half hours with our families when we do a full assessment. Our,
wow,
follow-ups aren't that long. Mm-hmm. But initially, between the history, the physical, all the testing that we do,
sure,
on
cognition, right,
medication review, and then just bringing the whole package together, dealing with the caregiver issues, the patient issues, et cetera, we can bring to the family doctor a report that outlines everything that's been discussed and recommendations. The family doctor can be a wonderful source because they can refer their patients, whether they're caregivers or the patients themselves, elderly patients. You don't have to come to us because you have dementia. There are people that come to us because they're on 26 different medications and can't handle it. Or they're finding that their balance is off, or they're just falling frequently, or they don't know where to go to get help because they,
uh-huh,
can't live where they are anymore. It's,
right,
not easy for them. So there's a lot of different reasons we see people. So family doctors are very important in that we want to bring the patient back to the doctor and say, here's some of the recommendations so that they can follow up with,
right,
the patient.
Right.
And the patient can be a little more compliant because some of their needs that took so much longer,
uh-huh,
to decide what was wrong with them has been addressed.
Yeah. And if you've been going, like you said, if you've been going to that doctor for, yeah, 20 years.
You want to stay there.
I mean, yeah, you know, mm-hmm, and he probably knows you better than, you know, a lot of other people, you know.
Right.
You're medically knows you, you know, but. It's
That's
just,
important, though.
Yeah, it is. It's very important. How would someone make an appointment if they wanted to?
They could call our number. Our phone number is 908-788-6373. Alicia is our receptionist, and she will pick up the phone and answer it. She may refer you then if you want to make an appointment for your loved one to one of two of our social workers, Annalisa or Marsha, and they will do what they call an intake, get the information, and they will set you up with an appointment and give you all the information you need, what's going to happen and what you need to do, et cetera. Many times I will do some as well, especially if we get really clobbered with a lot of calls. But Marsha and Annalisa are the two people that really handle the bulk of the appointments.
Okay.
Anyone's welcome to call. If we can't deal with you exactly at that moment, we'll take your number and we'll call you back. We always do.
Okay. And what was that number again?
908-788-6373.
And it, like you said, you will call back. I mean, a lot of times you get swamped with phone calls.
Right.
But
we will call back because we're also doing these calls in between seeing some patients.
Right, right. Okay. Linda, I can't tell you, it's been a pleasure having you here.
Well, thank you, Larry. It's been a pleasure for me, too.
I hope people have learned something. I know I've learned a few things. and hopefully I won't have to use them.
But you know who to call.
But I know who to call. And if you give the number again, I'll know even more.
908-788-6373.
All right, Linda, thank you so much, and I really appreciate all you're doing.
Thank you so much.
And you've been listening to the Hunterdon Medical Center Hour, and we are back again next week, same time, same station. So stay healthy, and if you need some help, we just gave you the number to call. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The New York terrorist bomber is undergoing surgery after being captured. Here's Scott Pringle on the scene.
An officer approached a man sleeping in a bar hallway at about 10:30 a.m. That officer woke the man up and realized he fit the description of wanted New York City bombing suspect Ahmad Khan Rahami, Linden Mayor Derek Armstead.
Within moments, the suspect fired on him, and thank God that he had his vest on.
Amazing.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump is praising the nation's farmers.
You believe in hard work and self-reliance. You follow the rules, obey our laws, and respect our great American flag.
And regarding the trade deals that are being negotiated, the president says,
this landmark trade deal will increase exports of wheat from Montana, dairy from Wisconsin, chicken from Georgia, and products from farmers and ranchers all across.